Welcome, everyone, to Reinventing Your Business, which is one of a series of conversations between myself, I'm CJ Hayden, Christine Carey. Say hi, Chris.
Hello, hello.
On how to survive the COVID-19 crisis as a self-employed professional. So I want to start today by setting our group mindset, setting some expectations for how we need to be in this session here today. Some of you have heard me say these things before because you've been to one of the earlier sessions, but let's just get them in the room regardless. So this crisis that we are facing, it's real, it's unavoidable, and it is worldwide. Everybody around the world is dealing with the fact that we have a pandemic that is sweeping the planet and that many, many locations have shelter in place or stay home rules that are preventing some of us from working and also preventing us from having the kind of contact with our clients that we typically have. We don't know how long this is going to last, but we want to keep in mind that it is temporary. This is a situation that will go away. We just don't know yet when it will go away. So here in this space, we're going to be pragmatic and focused on solutions. We're not going to do any fear-mongering or blaming, but we're also not going to do happy talk. This is going to be hard. There are real difficulties here for us to face, real problems for us to solve. And just holding a sense of optimism isn't going to make those problems go away. So that's why we need to be pragmatic and look at solutions. We are all in this together, and we will share that today, helping each other to jointly come up with some solutions. And we have to keep in mind that our clients are in this situation with us in everything that we do in order to keep our businesses up and running. To keep this a safe space for everyone today, please remember that all personal information should be kept confidential. You are welcome to share with anyone your own personal experience of the conversation that we have today, but you're not permitted to share anyone else's name or identifying details without their explicit permission. We are recording today and the recording will be shared with others. So if at any point today you say something that you would prefer not appear in that recording, notify us afterward and we'll edit it out before we share the recording. So those are the rules about confidentiality that we'd like to make sure that all of you observe today. So we're going to break the first part of our conversation into four different topics that Chris and I are going to talk about. So remember, if you just joined us, please hold your questions and comments until we call on you, and we'll have plenty of time for some conversation to be taking place. So we're going to talk about four different topics between Chris and I. First, I'm going to talk about taking your in-person or your brick-and-mortar business online. Then Chris will be talking about how to make use of your superpowers in whatever comes next. I'll talk about repackaging your skills and knowledge in new marketable ways. And then Chris will talk about calling forth what's been hidden or dormant within you. So to begin this conversation, many of us are facing the situation where we used to do a lot of our business in person. Or perhaps we had actually a brick and mortar location where we did business. And now, with all of our clients and customers online and all of us operating under some level of shelter in place or stay at home, we may be looking at, okay, how do I take this online, take what I used to do online? So the good news is that taking your business online can be one of the quickest adaptations that you can make in this current environment. Those of you who are coaches or consultants or counselors of any kind that may have previously done your work in person can take that work onto video. And you may have thought about doing that in the past and thought, well, my clients will be resistant. I prefer working in person. Whatever reasons that you chose to keep that as an in-person activity. But now your clients are going to adapt more easily to being online and on video than they were ever willing to before, simply because that's what the circumstances are requiring. So it's going to help you that everybody is in this shared space, make that adaption to doing work online and to video that you may have thought of doing anyway, at least in part. But now here's the opportunity to make that happen and the necessity to potentially make that happen. Other activities that perhaps you had never thought of taking online or onto video actually are things that can be done remotely. So I just listed at random a number of activities I'm aware of, professions that I'm aware of, that these are things that people used to do in person, but now they're doing them remotely. Fitness training, yoga, physical therapy, professional organizing, photo organizing, interpreting, accounting, performing, hypnotherapy, speaking, training. All of those things I have seen make the transition successfully from in-person in groups to remotely online on video. If you haven't been doing business online and you're looking at the situation where you maybe don't even have a website because perhaps you've been doing what you do through a studio or through word of mouth, all you've got is a LinkedIn profile, this is not the time. If you're in an emergency situation of needing to get business immediately, to put a lot of time and effort into launching a website and getting it enabled for some sort of e-commerce so that you can take payments. So think about how you can get up and running as quickly as possible. You might want to use an e-commerce platform like Shopify or Wix or Squarespace Commerce that allow you to quickly build an online store. Or maybe you already have a website that you can quickly modify, but you've never taken payment online. You've always done business where you could take payment in person. You could add to that website if you have access to it, or if your web designer is responsive to you and can help you to quickly add a payment services provider to an existing site like Stripe or Square or PayPal. These are problems that maybe you haven't solved yet, but that are actually pretty readily solvable. So those are some initial thoughts about taking your in-person or your brick and mortar business online. Chris, you have some thoughts that you'd like to add to that?
I do. A couple of things are going on in the chat I'll just point out. Welcome, Western United States, very well represented today. One of the things that's come up here is that Feldenkrais has been going online, apparently. Somebody said they've had physical therapy. Jerry was saying that, but it's been rough to do online, I'm sure, because a lot of the times the person helps adjust you and move you about and that sort of thing. So I was just commenting that there will be a lot of learning curves and adjustments and adaptations as needed. I know that there are a couple people on the line now that are doing physical therapy, yoga, fitness training, and accounting. And speaking all online, just because I know some of the faces in the room. And so with all of those folks, we've chatted about this more than a few times, and just how do you adapt it for this brave new world that we're in? And it's possible. And so that's something that's been pretty interesting to see, the inventiveness that's come out of it, just by necessity's sake. But that's also an opportunity for a lot of creativity. So that's been kind of fun to see how to do it.
Right. Necessity is the mother of invention.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And the taking the money part is not that scary. You know, if you're new to doing that, it can feel scary. Somebody mentioned that their clients are Venmoing them. I've had a couple of my clients make that request as well. Mm-hmm. I think I am now capable of taking money in almost every form it's offered. Online, offline, whatever. If you want to drop a bag of money by the door, I'll take that too. But it's been interesting to just notice the requests I'm getting from my clients and how they prefer to pay. And we've talked about this a little bit last week, really listening to what your clients are telling you and adjusting according to their needs as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Chris, let's switch gears because we're talking about making adaptations. And I know one of the things that helps people adapt is making use of their superpowers. So let's have you talk about that a little bit.
Sure. Yeah, superpowers. If you don't think you have superpowers, then you probably are deluding yourself. Everybody has superpowers. And these are things that are innately unique to you. It's not a learned trait. You know, most of us here have been on the planet long enough to know how to do something that may or may not actually be something we're naturally good at. Having said that, your superpowers are not things that you learn. They're things that are just innate to how you go about doing your stuff. So if you haven't, there's a lot of coaches on the line, I know, and a lot of consultants, and kind of an occupational hazard that a lot of us end up knowing what our superpowers are because we go through testings, evaluations, assessments, all these different types of things. There's also a lot of ways that you can do it more internally. So if you haven't taken some time to discover your superpowers, I would just recommend we start there. So figuring out what your superpowers are is a really nice place to begin the conversation. And that looks like maybe taking an external assessment. My three favorite, which I know I've mentioned before, are the Myers-Briggs, the Enneagram, and the StrengthsFinder. I also happen to love the DISC, the Colby, the MAP, the 300 other things I'm sure I've done over the years because I'm a bit of a junkie for those things. The thing that's nice about these assessments is that they give you a view of yourself from the outside in. The other thing that can happen though is you want to look at yourself from the inside out. So you can think about it more like, where's my natural energy flow during the course of the day? How do I recharge my batteries? You can go do some journaling, go for a walk, stare off into space, visit a museum at this point, probably virtually, but someplace that perhaps has a lot of lightness and inspiration to it. And take some notes to self, just noticing when you felt like you were in a good state of flow. So what happens is when you look at your workday through the lens of, or you know, your whole life actually, but you know, workday in particular for this case, through the lens of your superpowers, what happens is you will notice probably that there are things that you're telling yourself you're supposed to do, you should be doing it this way or that way, which may not be matching your superpowers. I know that was certainly true for me at the beginning. I went to coaching school at the Academy for Coaching Excellence, and one of my cohort mates was a guy named Wayne, and Wayne is really good at networking. So he just trotted on down to the Chamber of Commerce, started, shaking hands and kissing babies, and had enough clients that his business was full in less than 6 months. I tried the same thing and it was a miserable failure. And I used to come home thinking, what's wrong with me? I did it in the same 6 month period because we were running this experiment while we were in coaching school. So that's a really good example of Wayne being in his superpowers and me being doing something that I think I'm supposed to do or should do and completely not having it work in my case because it's not my superpower and having it really work because it's his. So you want to check the other thing you want to check is the foundation of your business and how you've literally built your business up from the bottom like a seven layer dip. So you want to put your bean layer and then your guacamole and then your sour cream and then your salsa. You don't want to mix all those things together. And each one of these layers is built out of your superpowers. So these are things like you're good at communication or you've got great empathy or you can talk to pretty much anybody, sell snow to Eskimos kind of thing. So the introspection that we did at the beginning now becomes the foundation of how you're laying your business day. So the day-to-day stuff, but also the foundation, like the general assumptions you're making about how business works, who you want to work with, how you want to be as a coach, a consultant, a service provider, a house remodeler, a yoga teacher, all of those kinds of things. It's an internally generated thing. So I'll give you a couple of ideas. Of course, you do want to use your superpowers for good rather than evil. So I've got a couple of examples here. Andy is a client of mine, and he's decided that he's been a consultant for many years. He's decided that what his clients actually need right now is more coaching rather than consulting. And so he and I just had a session recently talking about the distinction between those two things and how you be with a client differently in a coach setting versus a consultant setting. You're not telling people what to do. You're being with them differently. So he's got an innate superpower for coaching. It's been there for a long time. He just now decided he wanted to bring it to the fore. And we'll talk about this a little bit more in a minute, but he just decided like it's what's calling him forth right now is this coaching idea, but it's already in him. He needs to go learn a little bit of the techniques, but it's not like he's just a natural coach is what I'm trying to say, right? This is a superpower for him. And then this other client of mine, Rania, she has this way of being that's very free flowy. And she's tried to do the things she's supposed to do in the past, very structured environments, detail-oriented reports. She used to work at PwC. Enough said about how the structure and all the bureaucracy has a certain way of being. She's not like that. Her superpower is to be out in the meadow doing something crazy over here, waving her arms probably a lot while she's doing it. And the more she lets that out and lets that superpower out, the more satisfied she is, the better her career goes. Of course, the happier life flows. So there are a lot of benefits to playing to your superpowers and using them for good rather than this evil, which would just mean using your superpowers for evil just means making yourself do things that are not in alignment with you. So there you go. And I know CJ and I talk a lot about superpowers. So do you want to add another thought or two about that?
Well, some great stuff that's showing up in the chat. Craig says, ask yourself what tasks you do that get you in the groove or in the flow. I talked about the fact that I have a teaching and writing superpower. So everything that I do needs to make use of teaching and writing or I won't be good at it and I won't enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Wendy says, I have auditory superpowers, good for transcription, proofing audiobooks. It's best if I can learn things through hearing. So these are all things to be paying attention to as you're looking at this. Wow, do I need to be reinventing my business right now because I can't do what I used to do or my clients don't want what I used to do right now or the market has shifted or the conditions are wrong and people don't have the discretionary income that they had. All of those real world issues can be solved by thinking about, all right, what do I really want to be doing? What am I naturally good at that can be put to work perhaps in a new way?
And it's so much more pleasant a way to live, I have to say, seriously. It's much easier. You're a lot more motivated to get out of bed. Life just flows a lot differently when you put your attention on your superpowers and your natural energy rather than the learned things, the should things, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so if we look at this in a very practical way of taking what it is that we're good at, that we like, that we're in the flow when we do, there are opportunities to potentially repackage that, our superpowers, our skills, our knowledge in new marketable ways. So if your business can't function right now due to either stay-at-home restrictions or impact to your market or economic conditions, what skills or knowledge do you have that people might want? So, some examples. Could you be taking your expertise and offer it as online training, either live training or sold as home study courses? Even if you've never done training before, is this the time to take that stuff that you know how to do and put it into a package that people in this environment can currently buy? Maybe training for your end users, your clients and customers as they were previously, isn't the way that it's really going to work in the current environment, but maybe within your profession, there's an opportunity. Maybe you have junior colleagues who want to take this opportunity to improve their skills while they're not working. Maybe you could be doing training for them. If you're a performer of any kind, maybe you could be doing online performances, either by yourself or getting together with colleagues and doing a whole extravaganza. You could be putting together some kind of ebook or resource pack that shares your expertise visually and in writing in a way that would be useful to the people who are already in your world, who are already your contacts. Or let's say you have talent as an artist or a crafter. Could you put that into works of art or craft that display those talents that you could make available? Sometimes you might actually be looking at skills from your former life before you did what you do now. Now, obviously, if what you were looking at was a situation that was going to change next week, you wouldn't want to do that. But what if you're looking at a situation that's going to be like this for 6 months and you don't have another source of income, or a year, or 18 months, or maybe the whole bottom is falling out of your industry right now and you don't know when or how it's going to come back? What are those skills from your former life that people need right now? Can you write? Can you edit? Can you code? Can you design? Can you do accounting? And again, keeping in mind, all right, there may be reasons why you don't do those things anymore. You want to make use of your superpowers. But I think all of us in our former lives, before we did what we do now, did things that we did enjoy and we were good at, and maybe the environment wasn't right for us. Okay, what can we tap into in this current environment that maybe people need right now? So once you do that, if you repackage in some way that is currently marketable, how can you find clients for that? How can you find buyers for that? Again, not thinking from the point of view of, oh, I'm forming a business for the next 10 years, and so I am going to do all the things that I've always known how to do and slowly build up a business through networking and word of mouth. Okay, all those things are great, but if you need business right now, today, what can you do? Look for sponsors. Are there businesses? Are there educational institutions? Are there nonprofit organizations that can use what it is that you have to offer? Could you get into an alliance or a referral partnership with some colleagues and together join forces and put something out there? Can you make use of the gig work platforms like Upwork and Fiverr and Freelancer and Guru to make available those skills that you have? Or under the COVID-19 conditions, many organizations are actually offering job matching with opportunities for freelancers and contract workers. So don't forget to look and see what's your professional association offering. What's your state, your county, your city offering? Are there opportunities there that you might be able to match those skills or your new package with and find opportunities that under normal conditions you wouldn't have thought about? Chris, what would you say?
I would like to say something. Hang on one second. I actually have a client who's doing that exact thing right now. And he's across the pond over in London, and he is doing his consultant specializes in high tech, which is not doing so hot right now. Also specializing in creativity, which is another, advertising and stuff like that. Also an industry that's scrambling at the moment. But guess what he used to do? He used to be an on-the-ground crisis manager for companies that were in the middle of the holy crap moment. And he realized that now is the time to be dusting that credential off because he didn't want to do that work anymore. And he's like, that's what I do now. He's changed the verbiage on his website. His new marketing materials are going out to the same industries, but now with this twist on it, like, dude, you're up to your neck. You're going to need someone like me. And it's been fascinating to watch him pivot. And he's like, I never thought I'd do this work again. I wasn't particularly interested in doing it, but this is a skill set. I've got it. I'm absolutely fantastic at it. Not to be too self-aggrandizing, but I love it when when things get hard, because it doesn't freak me out and it freaks other people out. So I'm going to just put on my hip waders and get on in the middle of it. And he was actually pretty excited about it. I mean, not to make him sound like a sociopath, but I think it's a really nice example of what you're talking about, CJ. You know, digging out things from your former life and organizing them. You know, I used to work in the wine business for 10 years. And one of the things I did there was I organized a giant gathering every year for wine tasting stuff. So I, you know, throw the whole wine tasting party for the company for the year, if you will, you know, 600 people, 60 wineries from around the globe. I coordinated all that stuff. So in this pandemic, it hasn't been that hard for me to think, you know, because I have that skill set, not because I don't want to get paid for it anymore, but it's like, what if I got a family gathering going on the fly and I arranged and put all the invites out? What if CJ and I decided to cook up something like this series we're doing, because it's perfectly in both of our bailiwicks because we love it and we know how. And what if we wanted to use our skills like that now, even though this isn't something we typically do anymore? Doesn't mean we don't love it. Doesn't mean we can't do it. So it's just been fascinating to see the stuff that, again, wants to get some airtime. Whether you intellectually thought it should or we're gonna or not, it's kind of a more of an organic process than that, it seems. Still muted.
Thank you. And Chris, that's a perfect segue to the next topic that you're gonna talk about. I just wanted to pull one thing out of the chat here from Wendy, who has just had an idea. So Wendy says, maybe I could do something with creating how to write novels video. And says, my fear voice says there's too many people doing it. And then she admits, I'm currently writing my fifth novel. Yeah, Wendy, you're currently writing your fifth novel, and you write young adult novels, and there's so many people that would really like to be able to do that. So I think that there's an opportunity there for you that you might want to explore along the lines of what Chris is about to say. Can we switch gears, Chris?
Totally, let's do it. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just smiling. Some of the comments in the chat are priceless. So this is for Alistair, just so you know. There you go. Little thing with Alistair. So, okay. So this is what's going on here. All of these things that we're talking about are things that are going to call you forth, whether you wanted them to or not. So I feel like our job right now is to pay attention to what the little voices in our head are saying, not the little voices that probably need some kind of medication or something, but like the little voices that, as in Wendy's case, was saying, her fear voice is saying, there's too many other people doing it. And, you know, like, who am I to go out and do all those things? Elizabeth Gilbert actually wrote a whole speech that she gives to fear at the beginning of every project, because she just knows it's going to be a constant companion. So if you've got something that feels like it's coming forward that you've previously dismissed, because it's not what you do anymore, or because you've been afraid, or because, holy cow, there's so many of those in the marketplace already. Now's the time to remember that all the business's usual type rules don't really apply anymore. So now is the perfect time in so many ways, precisely because stuff isn't normal, to go ahead and toss some things out there. I mean, quite frankly, who's going to notice? I don't mean that in a, it's a little bit of a fatalistic thing to say, but I mean it in a good way. Like, who's going to notice? If anything, they're going to be thankful that there's a level of hopefulness coming out of this kind of, you know, like phoenix rising from the fire type of thing. That's how I'm picturing it. So if you give yourself the permission, the courage to explore, to invent, to create a little learning lab, experiment with some ideas you've had. You can test things out. A couple of examples I've got here, you know, I've been curious about YouTube for, I don't know, somewhere between 5 and 10 years. I don't know how long it's been. It's probably been at least 10 years that it's been on my radar as something that I might want to look into, but what's the rush? And, you know, I do a lot of speaking, but not right now. So I was just following the lead of, I do yoga online, yoga with Adrienne. And I love it because she's built her whole yoga business of being online and doing things for free. She puts a free video out every week. And so I'm like, well, I could be like Adrienne. You know, Adrienne's not smarter than me or whatever. I don't know. She's certainly got better biceps because she's been working out all those years. But what if I wanted to be Adrian when I grew up? Because that turned out to be one of my superpowers. So I was watching a video where she said, you know, I'm a trained actor. And people were like, you should go on YouTube. Oh, there you go. Yes. Very strong. Monkey's so strong. I love it.
Nobody who's on speaker view is going to see that. So now that I'm speaking, I'll do it again. I was just, you know, demonstrating the lifting of motion that might be necessary here.
Exactly. So Adrienne was like, you know, my friends are saying, go online and do your yoga online. Cause you know, she's a trained actress. She's doing all these plays and, you know, some movies, some commercials. She's also teaching down at the local yoga studio down the street. But she's like, you know, I'm an actor. You know, can you imagine her like flipping her hair? I'm an actor. YouTube is not for actors. Thank you very much. And then she said to herself, what the hell? Actors act. Speakers speak. Where do you do those things? You do it in front of a camera. What is YouTube? It's something in front of a camera. I'm just going to do it. And so she started putting a video out every week. It's about 3 years before she started to get any serious traction. She came up with this idea of doing 30 days of yoga at the beginning of every year. And all of a sudden she's got 6.5 million followers on the YouTubes. It's kind of crazy. So I'm taking that type of philosophy, like the, what the hell, things already, like the world is upside down on its head. It's going to get crazy. It's already crazy. Why don't we just do some crazy stuff with it? If you're a speaker, why don't you speak? So in that, in my case, I'm going to try. Don't, you know, look me up tomorrow. I haven't done it yet, but I've made a bunch of really bad videos so far against this lovely black, brown background. And, you know, I've tossed them all, but it's been an experiment that I've been excited to try because I'm a speaker and I'm going to speak and I found a new platform and we'll see how it goes. And then Kristen, another client, is very crafty. She's a professional organizer, but she's like, you know what? I'm going to just start selling my crafty things online because even if I make a couple bucks, I had fun making them. And then, you know, she texted me a couple days ago, my junk journal sold $35. She's so psyched. It's the first one she's made that sold. And there's a feeling of accomplishment. So just noticing again, those voices, what are they calling you towards? I feel like this is an opportunity for something that's been laying around in the fringes of your mind to come out in a way that might have been too scary before, but because the world's gone all topsy-turvy, what the heck? Yeah. Thoughts on that one, CJ?
I think it's a great opportunity to do exactly what you said, Chris, to recognize that, okay, here's this necessity. There's an emergency. I need to earn a living during this emergency. I don't know how long the emergency is going to last. So maybe I could let that call forth from me the courage to do something that up until now I have found scary. Maybe I can allow that to happen.
Mm-hmm. And there's a question about how you do the recordings. And, you know, the people that I know, they're making some beautiful stuff. They're just using their iPhone. Nothing fancy. They got a tripod to put the iPhone on and a little microphone so the sound is better, and they called it a day. No fancy pants stuff needed, you know, other ideas about like literally how you do all these things. There's a lot of ways to do it that don't cost a lot of time or money. Doesn't even have to be super. I mean, if you've looked at Twitter at all, you see Sir Patrick Stewart is reading a Shakespearean sonnet every day. That man knows diddly squat about operating a camera. I can tell you that from watching his sonnets. But he hits the record button and then he reads and then he hits the record button again. And this is a man who's been knighted and in movies and television shows and all that stuff. So if he can put it out there in that raw of a form, I'm saying now's the time to just not sweat those details quite so much. And in fact, it might even make you more approachable if you haven't, because then you don't go into that sharky, come off looking a little bit too slick. You know, there's a line in there somewhere. That's where your authenticity comes into play.
Absolutely. So let's open it up to questions and comments because they're already popping up here on chat. So I'm going to take Liz first, and then Anybody else who's got a question or comment to make, just stay on mute and then raise your hand when you wish to speak. On the phone, that's star 9. Online, click either participants or more and look for the raise hand button or icon. And let's see what questions we have out there. And I'll start with Liz. Liz, do you want to appear on camera?
Nope.
Okay, that's perfectly fine.
Okay.
And I did see your question about exactly that thing. Okay, so let me just say, here's Liz's question. I want to do some online tips because I'm good at sharing information and relating to my clients, but I'm running up against my personal barrier of being on camera. I can speak in front of an audience of hundreds, but I hate being on camera because I don't like seeing myself. Any suggestions? I have to tell you, Liz, I have exactly the same issue. Exactly. I hate being on camera. Now, I've gotten over it for live things. Like, I can be on camera with you guys now live and be comfortable with that because I've done it enough, although it took me a while. But in terms of making a canned thing that's, you know, done forever and that people are going to be watching for who knows how long, I hate it. So guess how I make my classes. I make my classes by putting sound on PowerPoint slides. So PowerPoint allows you to record an audio for each and every slide. So you can make a slide deck, and then you can just, using no other tool but PowerPoint, you can record an audio snip that goes with each slide, and then you can turn it into a slideshow using PowerPoint and make a video of it using PowerPoint. You never have to use another tool, and you never have to appear on camera. And they're great. They come out really, really well.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know, there's a platform I've been playing around with called Thinkific, same kind of a thing. It's one of those online learning platforms, and your face is never there, but you can have your voice, you can have the slides, you can have written things. I mean, there's 3 million ways to approach this that does not need to involve your face on the camera if you're not interested in doing that, including just making audio snippets. I mean, CJ and I have done that in the past as well.
Just That's right.
Audio.
And it doesn't have to be a PowerPoint slide either. You can actually use PowerPoint as a tool, and instead of making a slide with words on it, you can just make slides that are nothing but images and then record audio over that. Works great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Barbara says, I actually think people are responding well now to things that feel authentic and approachable. Like, you're just doing your best. It's comforting to see someone else being resourceful and optimistic. I completely agree with you, Barbara.
And so people are just asking some of the logistical questions about how they record and where they record and stuff like that. So if people have expertise, I would love to have you just help answer those questions in the chat. Personally, I use my iPhone and I record my YouTube experiments there. I've tried Zoom. Doesn't look as good. Doesn't sound as good. And then for the stuff that CJ's talking about, I decided to go with Thinkific rather than PowerPoint because I just want something where it's all in one place and somebody can click the buy button and then I'm not responsible for anything other than the content creation. So it's a one-stop shop versus a more of a DIY put it together type thing. And this again goes to where your superpowers are. And my superpowers are not technical and CJ's are technical. So we've chosen completely different paths to figure this out because of those superpowers.
And I create the video audio with slides with audio attached and then put those into Mighty Networks, which is what I'm using as a framework for building home study courses. So like Chris, I've chosen a tool. I've chosen Mighty Networks as opposed to Thinkific because I'm already using it as a network and group discussion place. And they have a course feature. So I'm taking the PowerPoint created videos and using them there. And we've got lots of other suggestions here in the chat about Keynote, already fitted on Macs, 10 times better than PowerPoint for this purpose. Google Slides, Diana is saying, and do the recording on Zoom. Yes, you can actually do that. Barbara says, hey, if you've never tried it, experiment. I found out that being on camera is a superpower. Totally a surprise.
It is. I mean, and this is the thing that's fun about those little voices. You know, when my first little voice said, you should go speak in front of people, I was terrified. I was still in the wine business. There was a room full of 200 people. I was shaking so hard that if I had let go of the podium, I literally would have fallen over. And I talked so fast that I'm not sure anybody heard me, but I was also the last presenter of a day-long thing. So when I was done in 5 minutes, they all stood up and gave me a standing ovation because they just wanted to get the hell out of there, which was great. And I wanted to get the hell out of there too. So we were all on the same page. But that's when I knew that I hadn't died and maybe there was something there for me. And I was terrified. And yet there was that little tiny spark. And so it took me, you know, I did a bunch of training, a lot of things for a couple of years to dip my toe in the water before I would ever go near a YouTube or something. But maybe you're a little more bold than that. I don't know.
And I just want to say for anybody who's sitting there thinking, well, that's all very well for you, CJ and Chris, because you're like these outgoing people. Kids, we are both introverts, okay? Both Chris and I are introverts. We are not extroverted people.
We are not like, let's go down the sidewalk and chat the people up kind of people. We're not like that. I mean, we like to talk to people just fine, but we're not sell snow to Eskimo kind of girls.
No. Okay, so we have a hand up.
Yeah, yeah, our buddy Craig. Would you like to come on the camera, Craig?
Hopefully I'm on. Can you hear me?
Yes, welcome.
Thanks. So being someone who knows StrengthsFinder well, I'll just tell everyone my number one talent theme is discipline. Life is all about structure and order. So when you have those ideas, what's been hidden or dormant within you on the fringes, how do you turn that into something that looks like a series of steps or something more comprehensible than just kind of a vague idea?
Do you have that, one on the
going computer? From that to it is really probably my biggest challenge.
Do you have something on the fringes?
Maybe, yeah. A coaching class. You know that I teach two workshops that involve groups. But I want to get a coaching class going and going from a million ideas to having a comprehensible curriculum and an order and all that has been much more challenging than I thought it would be given the passion that I have for this subject.
Yeah.
I just wanted to see what ideas are out there that people have.
Well, I'm sure you'll end up with some ideas in the chat in a minute. Because we have very clever people on the line. And, hi, Ravi. I just wanted to let you know we're keeping our videos off until we speak, just to help keep the bandwidth of the call a little bit lower. So thank you so much. So Craig, I'm curious just to have you maybe outline the things you're thinking about so they feel more concrete once they're on paper. And then we can start to organize them into different categories or buckets of offerings or things that feel more energizing or not. But because you are very structured and we have a lot of people who are J's on the Myers-Briggs who are also very structured and don't do well, especially in an environment like this that's changing from day to day, and you kind of, it's hard to feel like you've got your footing. Having something really concrete to grab onto is great. So literally in your case, I'm wondering about writing something down, writing all the different things down. I tend to use Evernote for this because I like to have things in different little buckets in Evernote and then I can mix and match as it seems fit. I also do a lot of mind mapping, which is not quite so structured, where I let my brain just go off in 300 directions, but it captures it all in one area. I tend to put a giant paper on the wall, actually, like one of those jumbo post-it notes, you know, the jumbo post-it note things, and use that for this kind of brainstorming where I'm trying to just empty out my head a little bit. And inevitably, once you empty out your head, patterns will start to emerge because you know what you're talking about and you know what you're looking for and you know where your energy is. I'm going to stop talking for a second and see how that's landing for you.
That's good. That's helpful.
Yeah.
That's very helpful. I use Evernote and I've done mind maps, and there's actually a cool tool called Inspiration that can switch between mind maps and outlines.
Oh, interesting.
And, yeah.
That sounds handy. CJ, really, anything else you'd add? Because CJ tends to be a lot more structured in how she approaches some of these things. As well.
Yeah, I actually tend to use a modified version of the method that I teach for writing blog posts, which I have labeled the Hayden Tigner method to give credit to the guy who gave me the original idea, Stan Tigner, who's no longer around. And basically, it's a way of organizing what starts as a mind map into a sequential series of thoughts that can become a blog post. So I use a modified method of that when I'm doing courses. I think one of the places where people really get stuck with a course or a book or a resource pack or anything like that is they always want to start at the beginning. And I find that you don't really want to do that. You want to start wherever you're feeling energized about starting, which might be in the middle, or it might be at the end, or it might be after the introduction. And you just start randomly throwing stuff out there. Well, I know I want to say this, and I know I want to say that, and I know I want to say this other thing, and oh yeah, that was important. And you just throw it all out there. And once you've thrown out everything that you think of, then you start organizing it into a sequence. And once you start organizing into a sequence, then you can begin to see what's missing. And then you match it up against a normal structure for wherever it is you're creating. So, you know, if it were a course, right, you know that you need an introduction and you know that you need a conclusion and that you know that you need lessons that build on each other. So then your assemblage of ideas starts to look like that. And where it doesn't, you plug something in. You go, oh, well, there's no transition between lesson one here and the stuff that I've said belongs in lesson three. So I must need a lesson two. What goes in there? So you're structurally building from a mind map into something that becomes sequential.
Love it. And there's great. A lot of really cool things going on in the chat, Craig, which will, of course, come out when the recordings come out. But you can also hit the save chat button where the little three dots are. If you want to just grab some of those ideas, or maybe if you have a chance to read them now.
Okay. Great. Thank you. So you're welcome. Other questions, comments on this reinvention topic?
Yeah, I'm curious to know. I know I called Alistair out. I didn't realize you were on the line, but I'm glad you are. I'm curious if anybody else has done something like what Alistair is doing, where he's gone back to a former way of being and brought it forth because the situation is called for it, essentially. Anybody else reinventing themselves that way right now? I'd be curious to hear if you are, and if you are, how, what? Anybody want to raise their hand?
Okay, not Barbara, getting any takers on that one.
Yeah, Barbara says she's teaching again. That's cool.
Oh, teaching kids. Cool. Yes, Barbara, your hand is up. Come on camera.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I just put out a call to on Facebook, and because I'd wanted to do something like this. And I said, you know, anybody who's having trouble with your homeschooling, I can help kids, middle school kids, grade 6 to 8, with my, or 5 to 8, something like that, with writing and humanities. Mm. And I wanted to narrow it down because that's really the age that I like, and I've done that before, and it just was seemed more specific. And I got 3 different things from that. One is just helping a friend, which isn't paying something. Another one is I'm going to be doing a poetry workshop for pay, not that much pay, but for pay, with a woman who's a teacher. We've done poetry readings together, but I'm going to do a session for her sixth graders. And then I'm also doing this other really big project, helping a company that does a certain kind of training market their workshops for teachers.
And what do you normally do, quote unquote?
Well, I've been trying to shift. I'm a technical writer and marketing writer, so I've been doing a lot of writing for hire. And I really want to switch to writing my own content, you know, be an author rather than a writer. Yeah. And but I think the subject that I like the most is learning. I like to teach people how to learn and teach people how to write. And so I'm kind of shifting there.
I love that. And what a great environment, too, because, you know, I was on a call yesterday with my friend who's got a 5-year-old, and it was, you know, she's putting the video on pause every 3 seconds and then like, no, don't do, you're hurting. Don't kick me anymore. Stop. No, draw the fish, draw some more fish. You know what I mean? Cause she just was like in her face all day. Cause she's a really active kid. What do you want to do now? It's like having a border collie around all the time.
And I think it's also fun because it's another one of those examples of pulling from your past. I come from a family of teachers, so I don't, teaching is so natural to me that I don't even think of it as something that I can, that I do, but I think I do it really naturally. So,
you know,
I can take the things that my parents used to do when we were kids and use those. So, yeah.
That is awesome, Barbara. Perfect example. I love it. Let's call on Polly. Michelle, I'll call on you if I have time for you. But Polly, go ahead.
I wanted to ask about money. love the ideas, and it would be pretty easy for me to do either a YouTube, you know, that's great, or a course. What would not be easy would be to charge for it. I've been giving out free stuff, as you know, CJ, and that's been very well received. Even free, though, people aren't sort of signing up for more. And I think if I asked for money now for my type of information, I'd get resistance. So can you comment on how to get people to pay for any of the kinds of things you're talking about?
Yeah, and that's where it can be challenging trying to make the switch with your existing contacts if you're really switching modalities like you are talking about doing, Polly, because you make your living as a builder. And now you're talking about offering teaching content online, right? Totally different. So in your case, you might have better luck with one of the online platforms where courses can be sold, like Udemy or Coursera, that you could go to and put your course up available there, where there is already an existing audience of people who are interested in doing online learning on specific topics. So I think that's a scenario where you really would want to look at a platform like that.
Yeah.
So that's fantastic, and I knew nothing about it. Can you put in the chat or something? I never heard of either of those things.
Yeah, I can put it.
Great. And we're about 2 minutes before top of the hour. So I want to make sure that we have a minute to do a little bit of wrap up here. So let me switch back to our slides while Chris is doing that in the chat.
Audrey, do you mind turning your video off, please? We're just trying to preserve our bandwidth. Thank you so much.
Okay, there's the slides. And Coursera has a U in it, Chris.
Oh, sorry, okay.
Great. Okay, so next steps after today. We have one more free session in this series next Thursday at this same time. It's going to be on the topic staying productive and sane while running your business during this crisis. And following that, instead of doing structured sessions like this, Chris and I are going to be offering office hours on alternate Fridays and Thursdays. They'll be at the same time on the dates that are currently up on the screen. And we'll have this in the email too, for those of you who are on the phone, that we'll send an email after this session. which will simply be drop-in time. Any of you who sign up to be on the announcement list for office hours can just come at those times and ask questions about what's going on with you and share what you're doing if you think that would be useful for other people. So that's going to start on Friday, May 1st. But before that, next week, Thursday, April 23rd, at this same time, we're going to have a staying productive and sane session. So let me just very quickly remind everybody that if you want anything deleted from the recording, email me afterwards and I can do that. Final points, this is a temporary situation, even though the impact may be long lasting. You are not alone in the questions that you have, the fears that you have, the struggles that you have. I hope some of you heard that today. There are answers out there to whatever dilemma is facing you, although you may have to work to find those answers. And at the same time, be gentle with yourself. We'll talk about this next week. This is a tough time, but we are all in this together. If we continue to support each other, we can get through this. So I know a lot of people are dropping off. Let me give Chris the opportunity to say one closing thing, and then I will end the recording. But anybody who wants to stay on and say hi is welcome to do that. Chris?
Yeah, I would just agree, you know, please come next week so we can keep your brain and mental capacity good. The office hours will be fun. We're also working on a work together half day thing, so we'll announce more about that next week. So we've got some resources coming up for you. In the meanwhile, please do your best to be kind and compassionate with yourself as well as the people around you and your furry animals and all that good stuff. And the more gentle you are with yourself in these ways, oxymoronically perhaps, the more better you can go out into the world, if we want to say it like that. You know, the more compassionate you are with yourself, the more you can show up for the others. And this is personally and professionally both. So go forth, reinvent. We will be here to continue to have this conversation ongoingly and looking forward to hearing more of how it goes as you do it.
Wonderful. Thank you, everybody. And thank you for all the thank yous in the chat. So we're going to end our recording here. And anybody who wants to stay afterwards and just say hello, please feel free.